You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
This is one of those this Sundays where, as a pastor and as a teacher, I know it's always going to be incredibly interesting. Whenever you start to teach on spiritual gifts, you know there's a spiritual enemy that doesn't want anybody to know any of the information that you're about to teach. So one of the things, let's just stop for a second, and I would just like to invite all of you to join with me to pray. And this is the prayer I'd like you to pray. God, in your power, in your strength, be honored here. Okay, that's it. So pray with me. Heavenly Father, I pray that in your power, in your strength, God, you would be honored here. Here being inside of me, here being inside of this room, here being inside of this building, here being inside of this footprint, God, that is the four corners around this school, that you, Heavenly Father, would be honored, you would be glorified, and you would be praised. It's in your name, God, we pray, depending on you, amen. Amen? It's always a fun prayer to start with. You guys are like, oh, that's awesome, Pastor. Before I jump into the sermon, a couple announcements I want to give you guys is, today we're having a barbecue. Woo-woo! And so at 5 o'clock, from 5 to 7, we're going to gather together in my home. You're all welcome. Please come out and hang out. If you have special nutritional needs, I'm just talking to Jody right now, bring your own stuff. I have no idea with all the needs of what you guys have, of what you need, how you need your food cooked at a diagonal angle. Like, you guys have weird stuff that you do. I get it. You are totally welcome to do that. Just don't put that pressure on me. We just wanted to throw a barbecue just to get together and just to hang out, okay? And so what I'm asking you to do is bring some sides. Come on, hang out. We'll share. We'll have fun. We've already got tons of hamburgers, tons of buns, and tons of cheese. So we're good with that. If there's anything else that you would like to have, bring it and share it, okay? So we'd love to see you guys tonight and hang out with us at a barbecue. It looks like we'll have the air conditioner and the heater on tonight. So I have no idea what it's going to look like at any point in time. But we'd love to spend some time with you guys, okay? And if you don't know where I live, please come spend some time talking to me, and I will make sure you know where we're at. Let's jump into this sermon series together. Now, some of you guys have already come to me and you've said, Pastor Nathan, wow, you look like your dad. And I just want to start with this. What a great compliment for you to give me. What a great compliment that you would say, hey, Nathan, you look like your dad who years ago decided to serve God. Who years ago, to the best of his ability, to the best of his talent, to the best of his teaching, to the best of the impartation of the Spirit of God upon him, he went for it. And one of the things that I want to share with you is because of men and women of God who've gone before me, I can stand on their shoulders and teach stuff that if I didn't get training from them, I wouldn't even have the possibility or the notion or the concept to even teach. And what I want you to think about for a second is, just real quickly, think of some of the spiritual people in your life that you stand on their shoulders. Sit back for a moment and ask God to bless them and thank God for those people. That might be a grandma, that might be a mom, that might be a pastor, a teacher, a leader. That might be anybody in your life, a professor, a deacon, maybe an elder. I just would like you, just for a moment, to say to God, would you please bless them? And God, would you be gracious enough that someone might be able to stand on my shoulders? Amen? Now, what we're going to teach about today and we're going to be talking about for the next 3 weeks is something that normally you would have to sign up for a conference to go see, to go hear about. They would take you to the woods and it would be a group of Christians who really want to know about God. And so much do they want to know about God that they would pay money to get into a bus and go up to a conference center and be put into a room with someone they didn't know and have to spend a couple days there and eat camp food and go to all these seminars and these sessions. And what I'm talking about is these are the crazy Christians, which in reality is what we have inside of this room. Amen. We've got a bunch of people that we don't have to get together and do a bus and go to a conference center, although that could be fun. We can start teaching here because in this room, with this group, there are things that you guys want to learn that truthfully, most Christians try to run from. Just give me a little bit of Jesus and no more and I'm happy. Let me just do my little Jesus thing and I'll have fire insurance and I'll know that Jesus is my Savior, but I won't ever treat him like he's my Lord. That is a major transition in the life of a Christian, is to move from Jesus being your Savior, which is so important, which is a huge piece of Christianity, but then realizing he's not just my Savior, he's my Master, he's my King, he's my Director, he's my Leader, he's in charge of me. How about I let him be in charge of me? And when we move over to the side of Jesus being your Lord and your Master, the percentage of Christians that ever get there is completely different than the other people who show up to church on a Sunday. But what I've learned about what God has created and God has brought into this room is this is a community that God is like, no, I want you to move forward. Now, some of you guys, you don't know Christ. You're coming into this process and you're still learning. What I'm going to reveal today and what we're going to start talking about the next three Sundays is we're talking about some of the inner workings of what mature Christians should be doing. If you're not a Christian, this isn't for you. Don't worry about it. Just listen. If you're not a mature Christian, which is a few of you in this room, and you're learning and you're growing, this is what you will aspire to. And some of you guys, I'm reminding you of what you know and you've forgotten. And that's the process of what we're going to go through. You see, we're talking about in this sermon series, Imprint. And we're talking about how God has placed on us something that's hidden that we have to look for. A little bit of a mystery. And that's why I wanted to wear this shirt. I don't have a lot of printed shirts. I know Josh Parcio brought a sweet one today. But I wanted to wear a printed shirt. And my printed shirt has palm trees and it has the ocean waves on it. And there's a part of me today that woke up this morning and just thought, this feels like Hawaii. And so I wanted to dress in my Hawaii preaching outfit. Then maybe one day the Lord would invite me to Hawaii to preach. And I would go. It would be painstaking. I would have to get on a flight and fly for 4.5 hours to the West Coast. I would have to land in the West Coast and probably visit either LAX or possibly San Francisco International Airport. Then I would have to get on another 4.5 hour flight to fly to paradise. It would be painful. But I would do it for God. I'm praying someone's watching on live stream right now. Do you guys feel the Spirit of God moving, right? Jump into our first slide as we talk about imprint and the spiritual gifts. I like this from the Pittsburgh Zoo. Isn't that cool? Some of you guys are like, it's a tree. I know. But then now some of you guys, your eyes are starting to adjust and your eyes are starting to look different. And some of you guys see an ape on the left side and some of you guys see a lion on the right side. But a few of you see two fish at the bottom jumping. You see, that's what the spiritual life of God is like. Is there are layers and there are depths and there are places you can go with God. And yes, the initial one is you see the tree. And you're like, I get that that's a tree. Then there's another part of you. You can read the print and you can see the words Pittsburgh and zoo. And so you have the ability to read and to identify. And then you go back into the picture again, and you look at the picture again, and this time you start to notice that the tree is different, and there's some pieces to the outside that are weird, and then your eyes adjust, and you see the animal. And this is the thing. Once you see the animal, you can never not see it again. Your brain has it immediately. Look away from it for a second, look right back up, and you will see it immediately. Once I told you there's fish at the bottom, now that you look at it, you'll stop, and you'll notice immediately, wow, there's fish. And that's what happens with the mystery of God. Once God starts to open up different layers to you, you will start to see things that you would never imagine that you could see. I remember in the early 90s, as I was in college, I was inside of a mall and I was walking through the mall and this new concept of putting kiosks as roadblocks in the middle of the mall came up. Do you guys remember that? It used to be that malls were so free. They were free range and they were open and you could move between stores. And then in the 90s, they put these kiosks in the middle. I remember walking by this one kiosk, and I was having this conversation with a friend, and I noticed there were all these people just standing. Bunch of zombies in the mall, standing. And then every once in a while, you see someone go, "Oh!" And I'm like, "What? What occurred? What happened?" So I, like a normal, curious person, stood next to them and wanted to look at what they were looking at. And they were looking at these square-colored pictures that were dotted all around. And it was by an artist who was terrible. Like, they weren't good at anything. It was just all these colored dots. And I was just like, "What? That's dumb. Why are we staring at this?" And then someone else said, "Ooh, I see it." And I was like, "What do you see?" And they're like, "Oh, it's a pirate ship." And then, "Oh, no, this one's a dinosaur." And I'm like, "No, these are stupid squares." And so I stood with them for a while. And then this expert came out, this person who was 2 years younger than me. And they said, "Would you like to see the 3D picture?" And I was like, "I already see it." And they were like, "No, would you like to see the picture that's hidden in the picture?" What we're talking about with spiritual gifts, what we're talking about with imprint, what we're talking about with God Almighty is we're asking you, do you want to see what's in the picture? And the reality is it's not easy. The problem is when we teach on spiritual gifts, different people understand them in different ways, which frustrates people. They go, "Give me a one-size-fits-all. Please explain to me how spiritual gifts work. Give me a 7-step method, and then I'll know what I'm not going to do." Some of you guys got that joke at the end. But what I learned is for some people, they would stare at the picture, and they would let their eyes cross. And then once they stared at the picture, their eyes crossed, they could see the picture. Me, I couldn't do it. I was too much of a control freak. What I had to have was I had to have a piece of glass over the 3D picture. And if the piece of glass was over the 3D picture, I could look at my reflection and I could look behind me and I could stare and focus on the back wall. And if I stared and focused on the back wall, within about 20 seconds, everything would change in the picture. And boom, I could see deeply. But I had to have the glass on the piece of paper. Some people, they can just look at it. They don't need glass. Boom, they can automatically see it. When we talk about spiritual gifts, for some of you, this is going to be really easy and this is going to be incredibly simple. And for some of you, you're going to be standing next to me and we're going to be crossing our eyes and we're going to be looking at a glass reflection and we're going to try all different types of things that we can possibly do. But here's the thing that I want to share with you is this. Is if you commit to it long enough, you're going to see the picture that's hidden inside. So we're going to be talking today about what are the gifts. We talk about imprint, we're talking about shape, and we're going to be talking today, what are the gifts? Next week, we're going to go discerning the gifts. In 2 weeks from now, we're going to talk about using the gifts. And then after that, we're going to go back into shape. We're going to go back into the imprint. We're diving in, and then we're going to pull back out again. And we're going to teach about your heart. And then we're going to teach about the abilities that God has blessed you with. We're going to teach you about the personality that he has given you. We're going to talk about the experience that he's put you through in your life. And we're going to talk about how all of these pieces work together to form who God made you. But the problem is in America is we don't like being us. The other night I was listening to a commentary on a basketball player, and they were talking about this basketball player that came into the NBA, and he was underneath one of the amazing professional all-stars that played in the National Basketball Association. And this person who came into the NBA tried so hard to be like that player. And they were having a horrible NBA career. And then somebody came to them and said, "How about you play like you? How about you be who you are?" And that absolutely radically changed this basketball player's life. You see, one of the things when it comes to spiritual gifts is we come in and we try to mimic and we try to pretend and act like the person that we see that has a gift, and we try to do it just like them. And the problem is they're not trying to do it just like you. They're doing it how they're supposed to do it. And when you try to mimic it and do it exactly the way they're doing it, it's not going to work for you. Here's the big secret that I want to give you as we start jumping into spiritual gifts. You have to depend on God in everything. Okay, write that in your notes. Put that in your brain. When I'm talking about spiritual gifts, immediately you're going to go to American Western scientific method. Oh, I'll do this, 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 and it'll work. No, you didn't depend on God on any of those steps. Spiritual gifts, step one, depend on God. And that's why most of us aren't using our spiritual gifts, because it takes depending on God. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to open to Romans 12, 6 through 8. It says this. Paul is writing and he's talking in Romans and he's setting out and he's describing what the Christian life is in contrast to a legal system of steps and rules and processes that say you're good. Paul's saying that's not what you're supposed to do. Draw near to God, and out of drawing near to God, all those things are going to flow. But don't try to do all these things and then claim you're near God. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Just sit right now and think about, in the context of spiritual gifts, presenting your body as a living sacrifice, that you would actually allow God to create in you and to develop in you the spiritual gifts, that they would come alive in you. I think that's what Paul's writing about. And I've heard tons of people preach this completely different. The problem is that this is attached in three more verses to spiritual gifts. He's saying, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Presenting yourself to God for him to do what he wants to do with you is worship. When God comes to you and says, this is what I want you to do, and it puts fear in you, and you're like, there's no way I can do it. I'm not good enough. I can't. You're going to have to show up for it to happen. God's going, oh, you're starting to depend on me. Now we can do something. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I think he's understanding that there's a part of us that want to use spiritual gifts like the world. We want to do things the way that we see it in the physical world, in the realm that we operate and we process in. But they're not, God didn't write, use your fleshly gifts for the Lord. He said, use your spiritual gifts for the Lord. And that puts us into a difficult place. Where are they? What are they? How do I do them? How will I know if it's working? How do I know if my brain is being fixed and renewed and transformed? It says that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. That by testing. I think of the concept, I love it, the WD-40 can that I have inside of my garage, the idea that NASA had this idea and this concept of they needed a liquid to put on the outside of the rocket so the rockets wouldn't freeze. And so they came up with all these processes and all these tests and all these experiments. And I already helped you out. The name of the chemical is WD-40. What do you think test number was when they figured out what it was? The 40th test. WD stands for water displacement, 40. That's what it is. Some of us, we feel this pressure that if we're going to get into our spiritual gifts, on test number one, we're going to nail it. How's that working for you? Well, it is, Pastor. I tried it once. It didn't work. I quit. It's excellent. That's not how spiritual gifts work. It says, by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You can test the will of God when you present yourself to him. Lord, do whatever you want. Some of you guys are trying to test the will of God by saying, oh God, hell no. Let's see if this is of him. Do you see the problem? You're approaching the situation completely wrong. Verse 3, For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now pause for a second. Don't get too arrogant and don't get too low. Be where you're supposed to be. This isn't a super humility session and teaching where you're just, I'm a horrible person. I've fallen and nobody loves me. And oh my gosh, God. God's like, no, I chose you. You're my daughter. You're my son. You're part of the family. Act like it. Don't think you're higher than me and don't think you're lower. Be who I made you to be. But to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Pause. Everybody has different levels of faith. Everybody has different responsibilities in this room. Everybody has different talents, strengths, intensity, the power of the gifting that you have. It's all different. Now, nowhere in Scripture does it say that the Apostle Paul walks up to Peter and says, hi, I'm a level 7 faith. And Peter goes, I'm a level 9. They don't have that conversation. But I want to let you know, in experience, I've noticed that. There are people who have spiritual gifts at a level 3. Praise God that you have that gift at a level 3. Guess what? Use it at a level 3. And don't feel the pressure that you're supposed to use it at a level 7. And if God has blessed you with a level 7, then use it at a level 7. Don't feel like you've accomplished it at a level 3. Do you guys get what I'm trying to communicate? As God starts releasing and training us in his church more and more about our spiritual gifts, you need to be who God made you to be and don't be anybody else. That's where you say amen. I'm going to say it again. You need to be who God made you to be. Don't be anybody else. All right. You're like, you're teaching on spiritual gifts, Pastor. If I say amen, then I'm going to get the gifts of tongues, and I don't want that. So I'm going to stay quiet because that's not the gift I want. Verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and many members do not all have the same function. Look around the room. Graciously look at someone next to you and say, you don't have the same function. Some of you want them to do your function because you want to be lazy and you don't want to do anything. You want them to do your stuff. Okay? The problem is if you think about the human body, when the human body has an element or a piece of it that decides to shut down and doesn't want to function anymore, what does the body do to it? Gets rid of it. What do we do as humans? We cut it out, okay? That's not the type of spiritual life we need to have inside of our church. We need to have the spiritual life of people who are functioning and being exactly who God wanted them to be. Again, I'm giving you grace. I'm giving you a blessing. If you're a level 2, be a level 2. Go for it all day long. We need you at level 2. Do it, please. There's a reason why God brought you in here. If you're missing, we lose you. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another. Anybody else feel like that's pretty close to Ephesians and the whole submission chapter? Do you feel like that was just a real quick overview that Paul just kind of glossed over it real fast? He's saying, in this church, everybody needs everybody. Turn to somebody and have some fun. Look at them and go, I need you. Come on, have some fun. I need you. Now, guilt them and say, step it up. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm joking. All right? Verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. We have different gifts according to the grace that God gave to us. Is everybody the same in this room? No. Do we have all the gifts that God wants us to have in this room? The answer is yes. Are we using all the gifts? The answer is no. So how about we set a goal that we start using all the gifts? Okay? It says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to your faith. If service, in your serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Here at the end of Romans, Paul starts to write out in the passage that we're talking about, Paul starts to list a few of the spiritual gifts. But that's not all the spiritual gifts. We have other verses where he puts it together. We have Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, 1 Corinthians. We have 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through 30. We have Ephesians 4 through 11, and we have 1 Peter 4, 11. Can you put up that for me? We have places all over Scripture that communicate that God has blessed us with spiritual gifts. Just stop for a second. Those of you who've attended church for a while, ask yourself, in all the churches that I've attended, how many of these have I seen? If Chicago has an incredible spiritual problem, why do we keep trying to use flesh to fix it? Think about that for a moment. We're no different than the government. We're no different than a thrift store. We're no different when we're just using our flesh. Now, there's nothing wrong with using your flesh if it's not the only thing you're using. Sit back for a second, and oh, by the way, you've already seen one you don't want, and you've like, okay? Because there's a part of you that's like, oh, God, please not that one. But let's talk through it real quick. In Romans, we just went through it. Prophecy, we have serving, we have teaching, we have exhortation, we have giving, we have leadership, we have mercy. You're going to see them over in some other states. You see prophecy in Romans. You see prophecy again in Corinthians. You see it also in Ephesians. So there's some that repeat. But let me kind of walk you through them. Let me introduce some of you guys to these gifts and just say, welcome, hi, it's nice to meet you. Prophecy isn't the ability to completely know what's going to happen in the future. That's a piece of prophecy. But prophecy is the ability to know truth, to speak truth in love, and to encourage people towards Christ. Now, a lot of people who get the gift of prophecy have the gift of criticism, and they use the gift of prophecy wrong. Rather than building up the body, they tear it down, and nobody wants to be near the person with the gift of prophecy. A prophet who functions in the Spirit of God encourages people in the direction and the place that they are going in, coded in grace. You're calling people forward into what God made them to be, and they don't want to go there. Relax, prophet. You didn't want to do your job either. You fought it for years, and now that you finally decided to be a prophet, you want to force everybody quickly into the microwave of spirituality. I get it. You're impatient. We know that about prophets. Some of the prophets are literally knowing I'm talking directly to them right now. And what I'm saying to the prophets is settle down. Now, here's the thing about prophets. Prophets are going to be able to walk around in the midst of us and go, oh, you have words of wisdom. You're a teacher. You're a pastor. You have miracles. You shouldn't be around children. Like, they know to do this. You guys got the, you didn't even hear the joke at the end. You're all scared. I said you're going to get tongues. Relax. Relax. Okay? Prophets have the ability to see in people what God is doing and what he's going to do. The problem is, prophet, is if you're not loving, if you're not kind, if you're not a part of the group, if they don't believe you're part of the family, they don't care what you have to say. A lot of people said this years ago, if they don't understand your heart, they don't care what you have to say. Prophets need to draw close to God so that they can help encourage people to draw close to God. And they've got to be incredibly patient, okay? Serving. Now, serving is, some people are like, well, I love to serve people. I absolutely love to do that. I just love it. Right, but serving in the flesh is completely different than serving in the Spirit. The question is when you serve in the Spirit, do people come closer to God? Yeah, you went and cleaned someone's house. Cool, you cleaned up a street. Awesome, you gave somebody a cold cup of water. Phenomenal that you washed somebody's car. Great that you babysat. Awesome. The question, though, is that switches it from a physical ability and something that you love in your personality. And we're going to get to those. We're going to get to those. The difference is if God didn't show up, did anything you did change? In other words, the spiritual gift of serving God has to show up. And some of you guys are trying to do the spiritual gift of serving in your fleshly power, and it's not working. You're exhausted, you're frustrated, you're angry. And what God has been trying to teach you, person who's blessed with the spiritual gift of service, is to say, God, would you please empower me so that I can serve? God, would you please give me the energy to be the blessing inside of my home so that I can help people? God, would you bless me with the courage and the energy to show up on a Sunday morning and set up your church so that others can come in and hear your word? If you're getting frustrated after church folding black drapes, you are not empowered with the spiritual gift of serving. You guys get what I'm trying to say? The person who's empowered by the spiritual gift of serving loves serving God. Can't wait to do things so that people can draw close to God. It doesn't matter whether they liked it or they didn't like it. This person is pumped that they serve God and the power of God is moving through them so they can do the activity. There are many of you in this room who love serving. You have this spiritual gift. You haven't tapped into it. You are a hairdryer laying on the floor in a bathroom, not plugged into the wall. You have so much potential. It's amazing. But without the power of God being plugged in, you're not going to do anything. We have teaching. Some of you guys, this is a funny one. There's someone in this church I know. We've talked. We've chatted. They are a teacher, but they do not have the spiritual gift of teaching. We've talked about it. They know it, and I know it. I can teach you how to do something on a car and fix a car and mechanics, or I can teach you 1 + 1. I'm not going to do times 8. I can teach you tons of stuff, but when it comes to teaching spiritual things, do people actually learn when you teach it? It's so fun to watch Tawny get up here. It's so fun to watch Chelsea get up here. It's so fun to watch Nick get up here. It's so fun to watch Mike get up here. It was fun to watch Pastor Rocky years ago get up here and start to teach. And the Spirit of God would come in them and through them. And they started teaching spiritual things. And literally, people are like, oh, I had no idea. But absent of the Spirit of God coming into that individual, empowering what they're teaching, you're not teaching anything spiritual. You're teaching the law. We don't want that in our church. We want grace-filled, truth-teaching people to explain things to us in a way we've never heard before. Maybe we've heard it 17 times, but finally this time it makes sense. Amen? That's what we want. Some of you guys, you're incredible encouragers. Exhortation. These are people who say, I believe in you. A lot of you moms, you are phenomenal exhorters to your children, and you are horrible exhorters to your spouse. You have a gift inside of you to change the world. You can change the climate and the culture of your home with the words that you use. But think of this for a moment. What if the power of God came in you and you had the ability and the power and the ability to change the climate in this room? When you walk through those doors, your attitude, the way you see the world, and you can't wait to praise your God, changes the entire room. Exhorters have that ability. When they come in and they're excited about something spiritual, it gets on you and it infects you. And you're just like, I'm in. I want to do what they're doing. But the opposite, just like the prophet can be critical and destroy us, the exhorter can come in so depressed. What can they do to the entire room? Welcome to the First Church of Eeyore. Right? People with the spiritual gift of exhortation encourage people in being faithful to God. Yes, they have the ability to go, yeah, you're going to do great at your job on Friday. I totally think that you should go to that college. That would be wonderful if you two start dating, okay? But the person with the spiritual gift of exhortation sees what the prophet sees and recognizes cultivating the encouragement in that person. Oh, you would be amazing at that. God is working in you. Yeah, you're going to start out. It's not going to be good, but try it. Keep going. You've got this. Keep at it. These people are absolutely amazing, and we've got them inside of this church. Exhorters, you know who you are. You come in and you stand in a circle of people and you so wish the conversation would change to something positive. You know the Spirit of God is moving in you, trying to get you to speak of something amazing, but you don't want to do it because the prophet's the bully is once you say something positive, they're going, critical, critical, critical. And you're like, I would rather not get in a fight. Prophets, find the exhorters, get next to them and say, I don't care what it is that I'm saying, you be obedient, and if you've got to correct me, because this is where we're going. Get your little exhorter right next to you. And your exhorter's totally scared, thinking you're going to kill him, and they're like, okay, I think you're amazing. Too real? Real church. Some of you guys have the gift of giving. When you have a spiritual gift of giving, God gives you something, you give it away, and God goes, here's more. If you have the spiritual gift of giving, you give it again, and God goes, here's more. That's the spiritual gift of giving. It's not the spiritual gift of poverty. God keeps giving you more. Some of you guys, you're putting your energy and your efforts in the wrong places. You have the giving heart to give to people, relationship, time, talent, treasure, but you're giving it to the wrong people and you're giving it in the wrong way. And think about this, if you're a parent, if your kid is doing the wrong actions and in the wrong way and they're doing something that's going to become self-destructive and absolutely destroy them and others, are you going to bless it? No. As a parent, you're going to go, you know what? You're not getting this until you get it right. That's how God is with some of us in this room of giving. God has an incredibly generous heart ready to give to you guys like you can't believe. Because, oh my gosh, I can't believe pastor's talking about giving money and tithing. He rarely does that. I rarely do that because a majority of you in this room have this gift. Have you noticed it? You guys have the gift of generosity. Have you noticed how much God has blown you away with what he's given you when you gave it away what he gave you more? Stuff I don't talk about usually, and great, it's going to be on podcasts, so then people will know. But the amount of money it cost my family to move from Southern California to Chicago was insane. Many of you guys have done that. Can I tell you something? In the 7 years that I've been here, God has already filled it all the way back up, and he's put more in. I have no idea how he's done that. Cars have not broken. Houses have not leaked. I can't tell you all the things that God has been so incredibly generous to in my family. And what God has said to me is, Nathan, try to outgive me. See if you can outgive me. You know what I said? You're on. And then I panicked and had an anxiety attack and fell apart for 3 years. And somehow God sustained me through all that because he's amazing. Go figure, a God who can keep the earth in the air and floating can sustain me. I'm like, wow. I thought you could do the earth. I didn't think you could care for me. Isn't that how we think, though? Come on, be real. That's how we think, right? Mercy. Mercy. Oh, some of you in this room, you have an insane mercy gift. Can I tell you something? This is a gift that my wife has. The more I have been around my wife, the more she has pressed upon me this gift. The more I have been around her, the more I have changed. Now, if I take a spiritual gifts test, I test with the gift of mercy. No, I'm married to the gift of mercy. I am mercy adjacent, okay? But because the two have become one, a lot of our giftings have started to merge. And it starts to bleed because we've been around each other so long that we start to give each other encouragement and exhortation and prophecy and serving and giving and leadership. We have all these things going on. And yeah, I know, I skipped leadership. I'm gonna go back to it. This is the one that usually kills everything inside of the church when it comes to spiritual gifts. It's cocky people who want power. It's the bullies of the world who have tried to tell everybody what to do their entire lives, even when they were in elementary school, get into a church, and they try to control the church. Has anybody seen that? Just show of hands. Has anybody seen that? Yeah. This is something we are extremely careful with inside of our church. I do not hand out leadership and responsibility easily. You have to function in this place for a long period of time. And when I say to the church, hey, this person is this, everybody thinks, weren't they already that? You see, leadership, the spiritual gift of leadership, has the gift of leading people to God. Earthly leadership has the ability to lead people towards success and pleasure. Look at all of our CEOs in America. We have a newest CEO. I don't know if you were paying attention on CEN. A billionaire just went down for horrific things. Now, I hate in America, currently, media claims that you are guilty until proven innocent. But what I want you to understand is this type of a leadership is so important. When your leaders take you the opposite direction of God, you're in some serious trouble. Read the Old Testament. Read the New Testament with Peter and Paul writing to churches saying, stop listening to those stupid leaders. You know the truth. You know the salvation you have. Go back. And you start to see some of these other ones. Word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is, and by the way, let me just be very honest with you guys. I don't want to share this with you guys to seem cocky or arrogant. I have most of them except about four. Okay? I've never spoken in tongues. And I've never interpreted tongues. I've not done that. Mercy, it's my wife, but she's mine, so I'm gonna kind of claim that. Evangelist, which we're gonna get over there to the roles, that's one of the ones I'm the weakest in, okay? Which I think it's awesome that God paired me and Pastor Mike together, okay? I love having Pastor Mike near me, okay? Especially when we're golfing. Hopefully that was prophecy. But when we go through this, word of wisdom is that you know what needs to be said in that moment. There was no other way that you could have known how this could have been fixed. You have no idea how to solve the problem. We're gathering together and there's a spiritual thing that is going on. And someone goes, I really feel like God is saying this. I know it may sound weird. It's always fun when they say it that way. It may sound weird. It always sounds weird. It's spiritual. Stop saying that. The person's like, it's going to sound awesome. Stop using your flesh. Like, that's the way it works. Word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is how do you know something that you shouldn't know? God has done this several times in my life to me. I've been with someone, and I've literally leaned over, and God has said, stop doing this. He told you to knock it off. You haven't listened. And I specifically what it was. I didn't do the whole new age. There's a thing that you're not doing that God's like, he's upset with, and maybe you should be obedient. Duh, that's all of us. That's not any word of wisdom or prophecy. That's nonsense. Specific word, boom, this is what it is. Faith. You have a spiritual gift of faith to trust God in spiritual things at an insane level. Now, I've been around a few of these people, okay? I would say I have this gift, but I have been around people who are like level 8 and level 9 faith people. 2 years ago, we had a marriage conference. I invited my buddies from Central California, Russ and Chris Llewellyn, okay? Chris Llewellyn, faith. That lady oozes faith. Hanging out near that lady, you're like, wow, I feel incredibly faithful. And you're like, I'm going to get a soda. And you walk away and you're like, why? My life is horrible. And you just go right back to her and you're like, man, I feel great again. Okay? Faith. Gifts of healings. Okay? This is something God has used me in. I know these things are real. I've been around pastors who've argued with me that they're not real. Don't argue with me that something's not real because you've not done it. You guys get what I'm trying to say? Miracles. Miracles are things that happen that aren't having to do with physical healings. Miracles in this range are miracles of things that happen to the physical realm. Years ago, I was in Southern California. We were trying to open a brand new church. We didn't have air conditioners. The day before we checked and the air conditioners were somewhere like in Colorado and they were stuck. We had to install them the next day. If we didn't install them the next day, we couldn't get all the fire permits and everything else that we needed to do to open the building, which was going to cause all this chaos for about 2,500 people who were attending our church. This one precious lady decided, crazy lady, decided to go out and pray and ask God to bring the air conditioners. Now let's just stop right there. How many of you guys already are going flesh? They're in Colorado. If God wanted them in Riverside, he would already have them there. You go flesh, right? This lady decided not to do flesh. She walked out and said, God, we need the air conditioners. If they don't show up, why am I telling you what you already know? Lord, you know why we need them. God, would you get the air conditioners from Colorado to Riverside so that we can install them? God, you're amazing. Amen. 3 hours later, the truck drives in, and the driver's like, I have no idea how I got here. Some of you guys know that story, right? That is a miracle, okay? A truck driver ever being on time. Order something from Amazon, free one-day shipping. No, okay? When it shows up, miracle, okay? That's too fun. All right, too easy, low-hanging fruit. All right, prophecy. There it is again, distinguishing between spirits. Ooh. Some of you guys are watching Stranger Things already. Some of you guys already finished it. Stop binging. This was something that I didn't think was real until I ran into it for real. This was something that I thought was, no, I don't think that's true, which is a lot like how as a Christian, as a pastor, I thought the Holy Spirit was too. I'd read about the Spirit, but he wasn't doing anything around. All we doing was we're doing education, we were learning information, and there was going to be a test, and that's how you got into heaven. It's like a Jeopardy game when you got up there. And then the Holy Spirit decided to wreck my life and reveal stuff to me. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Some of you guys don't know what I'm talking about. What I'm telling you is real, all right? Tongues, I've seen it done right. I've seen it done wrong. Tongues is when someone starts to speak in a prayer language that's not an earthly language, and it's clearly giving glory to God Almighty, and there's somebody else who's there who interprets what's being said, and it's something that gives glory to God. Now, there's another gift of tongues that some people have, which is a really cool one, and it's the ability to all of a sudden understand a language that you didn't study and you don't know, which almost every Christian kid has prayed for while taking Spanish. Apostle. Years ago, I was sitting with someone, and they were sitting across the table from me, and we were talking, and we were doing a spiritual gifts assessment, and a big, huge thing that we're kind of taking you through. It was called God Shape, and we're just doing shape. But they looked at me, and they said, oh my gosh, you're an apostle. And I was like, no, I can't write scripture. This canon's closed. They're like, no. Apostles are people who are sent ones. They're like missionaries. And not only are they just missionaries, but they're missionaries who are sent to organize other people and put in a collection and a structure of how everything moves. They're like a spiritual CEO. And I was like, I've been doing that my whole life. They're like, yep, that's you. I was like, oh, which is why I have a majority of the gifts. They're like, yep, because you got to know how they work and where they go. I was like, that makes sense. I'm not very good at most of them. They're like, you don't have to be good at all of them. You just have to know what's right and what's wrong. I'm like, I can do that. Prophet, we talked about that. Teacher, we've talked about that. Miracles, we've talked about that. Kinds of healings, that kind of goes back to gifts of healings. We talked about helps, which is service. We've talked about that. Administration, some of you guys are incredibly administrative. You love calendars. You love lists. You love all these things. That doesn't mean it's a spiritual gift. That's your personality. That's the way God built you. The question is does the power of God come upon you to organize and to arrange the correct priorities of the church to glorify God? Just as much as the person in leadership can do things wrong, the prophet can do things wrong, the exhorter can do things wrong, the administrator can cause havoc inside of the church. An administrator can start out being a phenomenal Christian and become a bully. Well, we've always done this. That doesn't mean we should do it again. Pray about everything. Seek the Lord. Is this the resources we put our stuff into? Is this the direction we go? The spiritual gift of administration helps move with the apostle all the stuff that's happening inside of the church. You guys starting to see the big picture? And then we get into Ephesians 4:11, which how our church is organized. And I've moved these more into roles. These are people who oversee different things inside of the church. We have an apostle who oversees what's going on. We have a prophet who makes sure that we're going the direction that we're supposed to go with God. We have an evangelist who keeps sharing with people, this is who God is. This is what you're supposed to do. Come to him. He loves you. Give your life to him. Okay? Then we have a pastor who's a teacher and starts to teach people and grabs people and is a shepherd. And sorry, I jumped the teacher too early. Pastor who's a shepherd and wants people to be a part, and they're caregiving and they look out for people. They're very much into who needs to be included. Notice this shepherd in this room. There's many of you guys who have this gift. They know who's supposed to be in, and they also know who's supposed to be out. Because if that gets in, it messes with everything inside. An incredibly healthy pastor shepherd is a protector of people. They don't let their includer get out of hand. They recognize that's a wolf in sheep's clothing. If we let that thing in, it destroys the people who are inside. No, you don't get to come in. And that's how you know it's a spiritual gift. When an includer learns to say no. You guys get it? We have teacher. I've explained that one again. And the role of teacher is to make sure that other people are being taught. So in Ephesians, we have these people who are making sure that these are all being raised up. And then we have 1 Peter 4:11. And it's kind of cool how 1 Peter 4:11, he's pretty simple. He goes, hey, whoever speaks on behalf of God, it's a spiritual gift. Whoever renders service on behalf of God, it's a spiritual gift. Peter makes it simple. Paul just lists forever and ever and ever, right? All right, I've been going long. I've got to wrap this up. Wow, it's gone quick. What distinguishes a gift from a talent? We're going to talk about talents later on, but what distinguishes a spiritual gift? I've said it several times. I've tried to be creative. I've tried to be redundant. I'm going to try to say it again, but just very clear. Here's the question. Is it supernatural and dependent on God's power and timing? Is it supernatural and dependent on God's power and timing? If it's a magic wand and you get to take it out and wing it whenever you want because you're in control of it, it's not a spiritual gift. In fact, that's incredibly fleshly, and if it's working, probably demonic, okay? Helping you guys out. Cool book. Some of you guys might want to think about getting this. You can get it on Amazon. It's The Beginner's Guide to Spiritual Gift by Sam Storms. I like Sam Storms because Sam Storms basically came from a little bit of a background of thinking that the gifts weren't something that were a part of what was going on. And then his life got taken over and he realized, oh, they're real, kind of like me. So I was like, hey, somebody like me, I like that. And he wrote a book so I don't have to write one. Awesome. 10 myths. We'll do 10 quick myths on spiritual gifts. These are kind of funny. Later on, you guys can have conversations and be like, yeah, I used to believe that one, but now Pastor Nathan said it's a myth, so I have to stop believing it. Myth number one, only super spiritual people have gifts. I was taught that. Anybody ever taught that? Anybody ever felt that? Maybe you weren't taught that, but you thought that, okay? The truth is, anybody who is a Christian has a gift to the measure and grace that God has given them. That's the truth. So it's not just pastors and super leaders, people who just read their Bible all day long and walk around in prayer. They're not the people with spiritual gifts. Everybody has them. Okay? When you accept Christ, you have everything in that moment. That's another myth. One of the things that I've learned that God has done with me in my life, and this is just experience, is he goes, okay, so you've learned that. I'm like, yeah, I've got it. Let's not ever learn anything else again, Lord. And he goes, no, you're going to learn this. And I'm like, that's not cool. Anybody else experience that? Oh, there's only my hand in there? Okay, a couple nods. Okay. So in other words, what happens is God goes, I want you to learn this. And you're like, okay, I learned that. Then God goes, I want you to learn this. And you're like, I didn't know I had that. He's like, I know. I kept it quiet. It's because you would have tried to jump here too early. You had to learn this so you could learn this. So learn this. You go, okay, I learned that. He goes, okay, I want you to learn this. You're like, wait a minute. So I learned that. I learned that. Oh, you're building sequential, God. It's like you're amazing and you have a plan. He does. Three, miraculous gifts were only done by the apostles. That's not true. Go read your scriptures. Especially when you learn about what Timothy and Silas are doing, what Apollos does, what Barnabas does. They wouldn't be the typical 12 apostles. There are other people who are doing stuff. There's even people doing miracles that are just part of the church. They're not even on staff. They like love God and it's not their profession. It's amazing. Okay, have fun reading the Bible. It's all there. Four, seeking spiritual gifts is wrong. Now, this is sort of true and sort of false. The question is why are you searching the spiritual gift? Are you doing it so you can become a bully, so you can be powerful, so you can be strong, or are you doing it so that God would be glorified? That's my prayer over our church, that God would be glorified. Five, if and when people make mistakes with the gifts, they should stop immediately. Pastor, do you hear what they're doing? Do you understand how they're messing it up? Yeah, they're learning. Let them do it. I mean, Pastor, you're not going to stop them? Well, first I should stop you. Well, no, let's not talk about me, Pastor. They're the ones that are sinning. Actually, you are in some serious hot water right now too. Oh, you're so judgmental and manipulative, Pastor. And they leave. And I'm like, I'm judgmental? True. Manipulative? Yeah. But that's what they're doing. God's like, don't worry about it. I'll take care of them. Into your hands I give them to you, God. Once you get a gift, you can use it whenever you want. I used to think that. Do you know what I've learned? God wants his gifts used when he wants them used. It's like God is in charge of the main circuit breaker to my house and whether or not there's power in my home. I know I have light switches all over my house. I am very aware there are light bulbs inside of my home. And every once in a while, I feel like there should be light in this room. And I'm like, I think there should be light. Nope. Sometimes I go to people and I lay hands on them and I want them to be healed. I want them to have their lives changed. And God goes, nope. Just because you are blessed with a spiritual gift does not mean in any way, shape, or form you get to choose when you use it. What I have learned is God chooses when you use it. And usually it's in the most inopportune times. You have other plans to do something else. And God goes, okay, now it's time. And you're like, but God, that would take me submitting to you, me being obedient to you, me bowing down to your rule, reign, and authority, and me going and having faith and taking a risk. And God goes, that's why it's now. Another myth. Now that we have the Bible, gifts are not needed. I was taught that. Anybody taught that? It's called cessationism. It means that they needed the gifts to prove to people that God was super holy and he was important. But once we got the book of the Bible in book form and it was printed, we didn't need God's Holy Spirit anymore. The problem is for those of you guys who understand when the Bible was actually printed and put in the hands of people, you know it's in the 1600s. So all the apostles die in 100 AD. That means for 1,500 years, which they didn't have the Bible in printed form in people's hands. So the logic breaks down is what I'm trying to tell you. Eight, gifts always operate consistently, exactly the same all the time. There are going to be some Sundays where Tawny gets up and she wrecks the house amazing. And God is flowing through her like you can't believe. Don't put that pressure on her the next Sunday. Maybe you weren't obedient with what God told you last week, so it's not time for him to tell you something new. Oh, dang. There's a lot of truth in that, huh, Tawny? All right, nine. Those with the greater gifts are better, super, holier, rock star Christians, like me. Bow down. Come early. Pay more money to sit up front. See, in churches, it should be reversed. You should have to pay more money to sit in the back. You guys got a good deal. Yeah. I'm looking at my buddies in the back. I'm teasing them. But isn't that how it is? The truth is that God gives, and this is what I've noticed, God gives gifts to people who didn't earn them and don't deserve them. Some of the most amazing movements of God, study the revivals, study the movements of miracles happening in our country. They are started a lot of times with imperfect sinners who have a terrible life behind the scenes, but they're so desperate for God, they're willing to let him move. Let me pause for a moment. Christians are filled with holier than thou, incredibly super arrogant, righteous people, and the power of God is not moving in our churches. Sit there and think about that for a moment. When you're the one who gets cancer, do you care about the person's background in their life if God wants to use them to heal you? Most of you don't do any research on the moral values of your doctors and your nurses. You don't do any research on Pfizer, the company, and what they've done with all the medicines that you're going to take and how they've abused people over all the years. And it's not just Pfizer, but what I'm trying to say is that you want what? You want the solution when you need the solution. Amen? How about we release people in our church to be the solution? Don't be perfect. Please don't be perfect. Be you, okay? Which means you're imperfect and you desperately need Jesus, okay? Verse 10, only the gifts that are mentioned in the Bible are approved, case closed. There are other spiritual gifts. Here's how we know if it's a spiritual gift. Does it require the power of God Almighty in order for it to happen? If it requires the power of God Almighty in order for it to work, in order for it to bless the body of Christ, then what? It's a spiritual gift. Let's not become insanely rigid. We've got people who can discern the spirits. I keep pointing back as if the big list back up for me of all the gifts, that one major slide. If these are functioning and they're working inside of the church, we have checks and balances like you can't believe. But what we're afraid of is that somebody's going to do it wrong. Agreed? It's the major fear inside of churches that someone's going to do it wrong. Let me help you out. We've already been doing it wrong. Check that box. Wouldn't it be awesome if we had some people in our church who started to do it right? And in order to start to do it right, you have to start. Amen? Now, no pressure. I don't want you guys scared. I want you guys scared in a couple weeks at the end of this sermon series. At the end of the sermon series right now, currently, which means it can change, I have a feeling that we're going to have a prayer service on a Sunday where we ask God to show up and release the Spirit of God upon our church. But we've got to get to the point where we realize all of our fears, all of our flesh, all the drawbacks, all of the cons that we've put on this list over here, and then we start looking at all the pros. Start looking at all the pros and start looking through human history. When the Spirit of God has moved through a church, they have a word for it. It's called revival. Anybody in here praying for revival in this city? Okay. Do you know what that means? That means that men and women of God have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be who God made them to be, so that God, through the power of his Spirit, will allow revival to be released. But as long as we're stubborn and we say, no, God, I won't be what you wanted me to be, how's he going to release it? Okay, I'm going to invite our worship team up. We've got two more weeks talking about spiritual gifts. A lot of times we can teach on this for a lot longer. I don't want you guys to feel guilt and shame. I don't want you guys to feel anxiety and fear. What I want you to feel for a second, and I ask that God would bless me with the gift of exhortation right now, is this. What if God showed up? What if we started seeing people get healed? What if we started seeing people get saved? What if we as a church, one of the most difficult things we had to do as a setup team is bring a baptism in every single Sunday and figure out how to fill it up with water? Because we had so many people coming to Christ and so many people being saved that literally that was our biggest issue, was making sure we could baptize them. What if inside of our church, the gifts started being moved and we had people starting to grow into who God made them to be, and culture started to change inside of our city? We've got bumper stickers that say, put down the guns. Is that working? It's not working. What if the Spirit of God started to manifest and started to push out inside of our city, and the Spirit of God started invading alleys and streets and homes? But you say to me, Pastor, I'm still sinful. Right, that means he can use you. It means you're still alive and you're still here. When you're no longer sinful, you're with him in glory. I need sinful people to help me out. Would you be willing just to ask God to bless you with the power and the courage to be willing? That's our closing prayer. Stand up with me. Heavenly Father, many of us in this room, we do not want to be used by you. We've seen it done wrong. We've seen it done weird. We've seen it crazy. God, there's so much fear. Our flesh says, don't be obedient. We have an enemy that says, don't be obedient. People will reject you. They'll hate you. But here's the thing, God, we've got people dying and they have an eternity set apart from you. God, help us check our egos at the door. God, help us slam down fear and recognize you are sovereign and you are king and you are mighty and we can't mess it up. Heavenly Father, bless us with the spirit of courage. Some of you in this room right now, you're wondering, should I pray for the spirit of courage? I want to bless you with the spirit of courage to pray for the spirit of courage. It's simple. All you have to say is, God, bless me with the spirit of courage. Bless me with your spirit of courage. Some of you guys, you already have the spirit of courage and God is taking you to the next step. You need to pray, God, be my Lord and my master. Give me the courage to be obedient. And some of you guys, you've already prayed that prayer. Some of you guys are stepping up to the next level. God, give me the courage to try. To try, God, to listen to you, to be what you've already placed inside of me. And yes, it's going to be awkward. And yes, it's going to be weird. And yes, it's maybe some of us need to walk up and go, hey, I'm going to try to prophesy. I'm going to try to be an encourager. I'm going to try to serve. I'm going to try to teach. I'm going to try. Would you allow me to try? And may we be the church that allows the body of Christ to try. Amen, church. Heavenly Father, thank you. Amen.